everybody. Welcome to Zen Talks number one. So we are obviously kind of new to this. When we do interviews for like virtual retreats and stuff and conferences, this is what we use. So we've used it, but we're not always the administrator.
Right.
So we're, you know, there's a little bit of a, what's the word?
Somebody smarter than us?
Well, no, like we're going to learn as we go. So you guys just bear with us.
We're going to roll with it.
At people who are jumping on, just know that if you have a question, you're muted. And we did that on purpose, not because we don't love you, but because if we have people yelling over each other, it's not going to work. So instead, just type us questions. If you look at the bottom of the screen, it says chat. And you can just click on that. And then if you look on the side, you'll see that we've typed a few things and just type us something. But because we end up emailing this to everybody, we want to make sure that it's as clear and coherent as possible for people who can't, because we've got a lot of subscribers, but not everybody can attend. So we want to make sure we're offering something to those people also.
Do we want to turn your email off? It keeps dinging.
Can you guys hear my email ding?
You
can. How do I turn off my email?
You just close it, right?
Oh.
Sweetie doesn't know how to close her email.
So I do this. Hold on, everybody. We are recording, but it's cool. And then I do this, and then I force quit. Yes. Okay.
All right.
So now my email won't ding. So hello, everybody. Welcome.
We have, how many people on? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of you all.
And then there's a few people who said they're going to be late. So we're just going to jump in.
Okay. Jump in.
So I wanted to start by saying, like, you know, what we're going to do on these calls are going to be completely dependent on you or these talks. I wanted to start with self-awareness because it's the most obvious thing, but it's not really about explaining self-awareness. It's more about kind of like a podcast. Like, let's talk about something in terms of self-awareness. For example, I read something today that I thought was great, and it was a woman who said, she was doing an interview, Jen Hatmaker, I don't know if you guys know her, but she was doing an interview with somebody, and her question to this person was, what do you think the most important thing is ever in any situation?
Love.
Okay, that's a good answer, which I thought was really interesting. What's somebody going to say that overlaps with every item in their life? And the answer that she gave was, only connect. And so I started going through my head, like, of course, with, you know, someone we love, only connect with our kids, only connect to our work, only connect. When you are having an argument with somebody, only connect. Like, not connect, be walked all over, or, you know, not connect, need to win, but just stay connected to this person. Nature, only connect. Think of something else. What are other things that...
Food.
Yes. I mean, I'm not even joking, because if you are eating unconsciously, or you are...
I ate unconsciously last night.
I know. I brought fries home, which is always a problem.
I was so full, and then Kathy had fries, so I had to keep eating.
Yeah, he had to.
I had no choice.
Don't make me sing. If we keep that in mind, that was really helpful to me.
What if we don't like the person? Do we still have to connect?
I kind of think about when you're with somebody, there's a personality and then there's the human being. So sometimes someone's personality is a little too much to deal with. And then there's the human being underneath, because you know, you guys know that if somebody is hurting you, it's because they're hurt. Hurt people. If somebody in government is not making good choices, it's because they have issues with their own ego and with their own inner balance. I'm trying to be, you know, PC here, but there are reasons why these things are happening. And it doesn't mean that we let everybody off the hook and let people treat us poorly. But if we can still stay connected to the human being and recognize that the personality is because of their, maybe their own issues, their trauma, their upbringing, their challenges in the moment. Like, I've been not the most together the last week or two.
You have not been the most together in the last week or two, and that's okay.
I've been very flighty, and I actually just left the car running for an hour.
For an hour.
Our neighbor's like, I think your van's running.
And she forgot to turn the car off and bring the keys inside. She just left.
I just left.
I'm done with this car. Let's leave.
So... my point in saying that is that sometimes we're not all together, but that's not who I am. I'm not the person who leaves the car running.
Well, you are, but you're also the person who does good things where you don't leave the car running too.
Yeah. I want to protect the environment. Well, thanks.
The whole circle.
Thanks.
The good, the bad, the left, the right.
Thanks.
Up, the down.
You too.
That's right.
You too. So, only connect. I thought that was like a good way to at least start our time together, is that can kind of be our mantra, or at least it's going to be for me.
Well, it reminds me of John Duffy. And we've shared this on the podcast, but when your kids are driving you crazy, or somebody's driving you crazy, a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad, think is with the intention that, are they going to want to come back for Thanksgiving dinner when they're 25 years old?
No matter who you're with, or just with your kids?
No, anybody. But, you know, this is a parenting thing, obviously. So it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day discipline. You know, for instance, my kids don't shut lights off. Why is that?
Because it's not on
their
mind.
Me nuts.
I know, but it's not on their mind.
I can't stand that.
I know.
They're on tech too much. Drives me nuts. Now, that doesn't mean we don't set boundaries, but what it means is when we do set boundaries, we can do it from a place of
connection. Yeah.
As opposed to, I told you that you had to get off the iPad at 9 p.m. and it's 9:30, and what are you doing? And you're a bad kid.
Right. It is, where am I in this conversation? What's the energy that I'm bringing to the situation? What's going on with my child? And how do I most effectively communicate what I would like them to know without being shaming and disconnecting? And you guys have hopefully felt both. Like where, when you're expressing something to somebody and you're like, maybe it's even something difficult, but they do hear you. And then you've probably tried the old school, I told you to do this. And you know, just like I was saying, like last week, I went upstairs and I just wanted everybody in bed. So I was just like, oh my gosh, go to bed. And I did one of those like very, you're all annoying me things. And they all pushed back on me. Mm-hmm. They were like, we are. And you know, my point is that that doesn't work.
Right.
You know, they don't, all that happens is everybody disconnects. And, but we still get the message from society that having that kind of, you know, fear, shame, guilt, or that kind of like, I'm in power, the authoritarian way is the way to respond to people, your children or anybody otherwise, but it's not. And we know that not because we're saying so, but from practice. You know, you try both and you're like, oh, this connection thing actually feels better.
There's something to it.
So
I kind of feel like we should, I know Millie just got on. Millie, if you can hear me, raise your hand. She had a question.
Okay.
I think we should unmute her so she can ask her own question.
Do you want to, Millie, or do you want us to read it? Okay, we'll unmute you up there.
I think I just did it.
Okay.
Are you there?
I am.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
You just sent me an email, or I sent Kathy and I an email.
Wow, you guys really do check your emails right before.
What's the deal?
So just yesterday I listened to your podcast and totally with you on the, you know, take ownership of our own actions, right? Even in a scenario like your bird poop example that you don't have control over. So our 10-year-old daughter has given me, and I know that she is in my life because I have to learn all these things from her. But the challenge that, there are many challenges, but one challenge about the ownership thing is that she, even though it's, if it's a blatant example of her having done something that caused something, you know, maybe not so good to happen, she will not take ownership of it. And I just want her, I'm not trying to say, hey, that was, you're bad, you know, just take ownership of it. And I've tried to explain it by talking to her about it, but of course in the moment it's hard for her to hear. So what are your suggestions on how to encourage your kids to take ownership of whatever it is, you know, that happens?
Can you give me an example of what your daughter would pass the buck on?
Okay, of course, I can't, at the moment, I can't think of something big, but literally, I mean, the small things would literally be, I mean, her having, you know, like walked and walked across one of her brother's little Lego things and breaks it. I mean, it's an accident. So
right.
Just say, oh, hey, oh, sorry about that. I didn't mean to do that. It was an accident. That's it.
And what does she
right?
say? Did she say it wasn't me, or she just doesn't want
to? No, she just to refuse to even recognize that she's done that. Oh, and then there are other times, I wish I could think of an example, but it's something that she has done, but she'll end up turning it around and blaming me or someone else. It was your fault. I literally can't think, nothing happened recently, so I can't think of an example, but I just remember the reaction that I have, which is like, how are you even blaming me for that? You know? So I wish I had an example. I'm sorry. I don't.
No, I think that's a good example because it really doesn't matter what the example is. It's because it all comes from the same place in her. So yeah. I think all of us can agree that one of the hardest things to do is admit we did something wrong. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It totally sucks to say,
yeah,
I did this wrong. I am responsible. If it be breaking a Lego or forgetting to show up somewhere or not turning off your car or yeah, not, this is a hard thing to do. And so that's the first thing. So we understand that we've all been there. The second thing is you actually use the language in that moment, she struggles with it. Mm-hmm. And so instead of in the moment going for the personal responsibility piece, mm-hmm, in the moment, you can go for the compassion empathy piece, mm-hmm, which almost detaches if you're watching it happen, like she breaks the Lego, you know, like, oh, the Lego broke. Oh, it stinks. And almost like there's no blame. There's no personal responsibility. There's just, it happened. And we're all managing it, you know, like there may be an initial, you know, like my oldest daughter says, she never likes to see my face when something disappointing happens. Cause I have that like, ugh, that cringy look. Yeah. And that's hard to not do. But we kind of have a separation from it. Like, oh, that happened. And then this is always the more work because you got to go back to it is to say, you know, when it's not in the moment, you know, since you stepped on that Lego today, what's something we could do to maybe, you know, talk to your brother about, you know, something that you could share with him or some way that you can let him know that that was, you know, not your intention. Because in the heat of that moment, she would rather lie or lie to herself than admit that pain of doing something wrong. But later, when it's not the heat of the moment, she could be like, oh yeah, what could I do? And then all of a sudden in that moment, there's personal responsibility because she's recognizing that this conversation should occur. I know a lot of people, what they'll say is, I shouldn't have to do that. She should take responsibility in the moment. But 10 is a really interesting time. 10, 11, 12, right? 13 is interesting too, but there is a lot of self-protection around that time. Of they're like figuring, they're now into complete abstract thinking. They can see how this is true, but this isn't true, and this is fair, and this isn't fair, and they're really trying to find their place in that. And there is, if we can help them, not keep them from taking responsibility, but that's not it at all, but help them deal with the feelings of taking responsibility rather than hammering down and saying, this is what you need to do now.
Well, and here's my question, Millie. When this happens, do you come at it a place as a, from, maybe it just depends on the day or the occurrence, but do you come at it from an annoyance? Like, you know, we talked a few months ago about the above the line, below the line. Mm-hmm. Are you coming when you know that she's totally passing the buck, are you coming at it from a, you want to win this argument attitude, or let's explore and see why she's doing this attitude? Like, what is your feelings? Where are you coming from when you observe whatever behavior that you see?
Yeah. And it's totally, like you said, depending on that moment, I'm sure at least half the time it would be from below the line, you know, that I'm just like, oh, geez, again, you know, I'm like, honey, just, can you, you know, did you see what just happened? You know, so yes, I'm sure, again, this is why this is my, you know, my lesson, that I need to change my reaction to that. And so I just have to remind myself, you know, to breathe, you know, to do all these things, to just remind, and your point just earlier, connection, you know, okay, connect at this point, connect, even though you're super annoyed. And you know, I have to make the change.
Well, and there's so a part of you that wants to not, you feel like you don't have to remind her again. And I've been reminding Skylar about the waffles since she could walk. And she's now 9 years old.
Yeah.
Morning, she had waffles and she left without putting the plate by the sink.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. It's small potatoes, so I don't get too frustrated at it. I actually get more frustrated at technology than I do cleaning up waffles. But that's a thing. We have to kind of keep reminding them
Well, you know, the thing that just came into my head is like growing up is a practice and parenting is a practice. So we're both for, you know, them growing up and remembering everything that they're supposed to remember, keeping themselves together as they walk out the door and go to school and they're worried about their peers and their math test and everything. And then they have to worry about putting the, and it's not that we should not ask them to put the plate at the sink or, you know, to take responsibility for that Lego in the moment. It's that it's a practice for them. And our job is to keep reminding them in a way that they can hear it. And the other way, because I'm thinking about what would happen if that happened here, humor is huge too. Mm. Like, the poor Lego. And so it like breaks that feeling of, tension. Oh my gosh, that tension. Yeah. And it's a lot easier to accept responsibility for something that you know people aren't going to come down on you super hard.
I got a good example.
You know, and trying out a bunch of different things. Like there is no right answer, you know, and you guys are kind of get that from listening to the show. There's not like, if you say this, you'll get this response. And also I wanted to say this at the very beginning and, you know, I know that you, like you said, you're practicing all these things all the time, but do people in the house take responsibility for their own stuff? Meaning not just her, but when an adult, yes. Cause if she sees that, then it's getting in. So not only the interaction with her, but when you break something, you go, oh, I totally broke that. Well, and if she can see how you manage it, then she'll be better to manage it. So it's kind of a fun practice because it allows us to be more self-compassionate because when we do something wrong, instead of like totally going into the shame and the hatred of what we just did, we're like, oh, wait, this is an opportunity for me to role model some self-compassion for my kids.
Well, and this is in regards to the humor part that Kathy said. We have three boxes as you enter our living room.
Yes.
One is a spend box, a share box, and a save box. Yes. And whenever we have loose change or a dollar bill, we throw it in one of those three boxes. Well, I know that there was at least a few bucks in each one.
Like a week ago.
And I needed to pay, I needed to tip the pizza guy, and there was no dollar bills left. So somebody, I asked Kathy, and she said, I didn't take it. So one of these three kids of mine took it out. So I could have either said, all right, we're going to have a lecture, and we need to find out who the culprit is.
Who stole?
So, but instead, I went with the Sherlock Holmes family.
He literally did walk in
so
that way.
I walked in, and they said, there's been a crime. So it's funny because it actually worked. Now, I still don't know who took the money.
But the message was.
Right, the message got conveyed.
That because they were all like, oh, because I said, so all three of them, when I was like, you know, that's not money we can just take when we want. That's like a decision that we make, like we're going to share this or spend this. Or one of the adults in the family is saying, just take it from the box.
Yeah.
But that's not for you guys to decide. And they were like, oh, it was like we were giving them new information. I told him he needs to put bubbles in there.
I know. the way it goes.
I know. So, you know, like there is, we could look at that situation. You may say, oh my gosh, a kid stole money.
Right.
Oh my gosh. And what does that mean?
That means they're going to rob banks when they're older.
And this is crazy. These are boxes in the front that they've seen us take money out of here and there. And possibly they didn't really know that that wasn't for just the taking. And maybe they did know that they shouldn't have done it, but they did do it because they're kids and they needed to have Sherlock come in and remind them that's actually stealing.
That's right.
That's not for you. But if you need that money, let us know what it's for. And we're more, you know, more than happy to have that discussion about what you need it for. So humor.
So we have a few more questions that we want to read. But before we do that, I want to give the people that are on this call right now the opportunity. Go ahead and mute Millie. Is there anybody else on here that has a question for Kathy and I regarding parenting or whatever it is? Go ahead and type a message into your...
Or just raise your hand and we'll unmute you.
Or raise your hand, but we can't see everybody's hand.
True.
So if we don't get any questions, then we'll go ahead and read. But, Julia.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can find Julia.
Right here. Another question, my dad.
We're going to unmute you.
She flips over the water.
Julia, can you hear us? Julia, can you hear us?
Listening. I can hear
you. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so Julia's question is that's okay. Don't worry about Julia. I'll answer it. It says, my daughter constantly flips over the dog water bowl and she's 16 months, which, you know why? Because flipping over the water bowl is so fun. Because you know what happens? All the water comes out of it and it goes everywhere and it's awesome.
Yeah.
And
she's a little scientist.
She's like, what happens if I do this? Oh, I did it yesterday. Will it happen today? And then she flips it over and it's wet, and then she can play in it, and then she can totally make a mess.
She says so this is what Julia says. She laughs at me when I say no and thinks I'm a joke. That's
yeah, because it's funny because she flipped over the water and you're upset about it.
Right.
She's like, ooh, synapses are coming together where if I flip this over and I have fun in the water, then mom has a reaction and then there's energy and everything's happening. And I'm not saying I'm being serious, but I'm also being funny because I'm not surprised at all that she does that, because I bet everybody here could be like, well, you know, so what can you do? Is the answer is get her involved in the cleaning up. And I know she's only 16, you know, months. She's just a little thing. So it's not like she has to do it all by herself. You know what? I wouldn't even think of it as discipline. I would, you know, her question is, should I discipline someone so young? I would think of it more as experimental for her and her learning about how things work. And it totally sucks because you have to clean it up. Like, I'm with you, mama. Like, I'm not saying that I enjoy when my daughters make messes.
What are the odds of a 16-month-old wanting to be involved in the cleanup? That's not nearly as much fun as dumping it out.
Exactly, but you can make it fun because you go get the paper towels and you lay them down and the water absorbs into the paper towel and it's so cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
And so really this kind of example is an example of us realizing that what she's doing is not her being, she's not trying to offend you. She's not trying to manipulate you. She's not trying to be a difficult kid. She is 16 months and she's learning what happens when you flip a bowl over. Mm-hmm. And then once this is going to stop. Like, it's probably, I don't know how long it's gone on, but eventually that's going to be boring and she's going to flip the food over.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to be gross.
And it reminds me, who's the scientist that's always talking about space?
Bill Nye, the science
guy?
No,
not Bill Nye, the African-American guy.
Oh, I love him. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
And
yeah.
he was answering some kid's question, and it was about, like, or maybe it was a parent's question, and the kid always liked to play with pots and pans underneath the cabinet underneath the countertop. And his advice is, your kids are learning cause and effect. Like, this is the beginning of the scientific mind taking root.
Right.
So you want to be able to, and, you know, there's also a house you have to live in where dog spills are a pain in the butt.
Yes.
And pots and pans being on the floor are a pain in the butt. I say that more just to kind of like maybe loosen the grip a little bit.
Take the discipline thing, or, you know, we don't have to think about it as discipline, but take the thing about I need to teach her something different and put it underneath what's she getting out of this experience. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't mean that you don't say something or say, I'd prefer if you didn't do that, or, you know, honey, let's not do that, or we have to clean it up. I mean, again, she's so little that it's not like you're going to be able to rationalize with her. But like Todd said, I think look at the scientific piece as being more interesting than what kind of behavior is she demonstrating. Because she's not laughing at you because she's disrespecting you. She's laughing at you because she's a little girl and everything is funny and interesting. I actually just read something a while ago that dogs, when they're going on a walk, they love to smell, right? For those of you who take dogs on a walk, they love to smell. And their dogs are evolutionary-wise losing their sense of smell because their dog owners are not allowing them to stop and smell things.
Oh, wow.
And so, isn't that suck?
Yeah.
And the thing is they want to smell. That's what dogs do, but they're learning over time that when they stop to smell, they're like, come on, because we're in a hurry, right? And so it's the same thing with kids. It's like, we got to let them stop and smell.
So Julia said, thank you. So can I read Christina's question?
Yes.
So this is from Christina. I'm a therapist and coach myself. I'm a huge advocate of self-awareness and try to teach clients about themselves and the importance of it. With some clients, if I bring up self-awareness or mindfulness, some kind of roll their eyes. Any tips?
Yes.
I can see that even with family and friends.
I know. I've had to change the words. So I'm with you, Christina. I don't say... sometimes when I talk about mindfulness, instead I call it understanding your brain. When I talk about self-awareness, it's just like understanding. Like last night I did a workshop at a place where a lot of the parents hadn't heard any of this. And I just changed the words, you know, instead of self-awareness, it's like self-understanding. Do you understand? Or do you understand how you feel? Like it's just semantics. And then as you explain more, you can start to maybe throw in those words, like when they're like, oh yeah, I understand my brain. Say, you know what that is? That's actually mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And then there's like, you know,
or you don't say that at all and don't throw that word on there. And we talk a lot about, you know, the word meditation and lot of people have a lot of baggage with that because they think you're supposed to be on a mountaintop, you know, in the lotus position. But it's actually sitting in quiet. So if you know somebody is going to be bothered by the word meditation, you say sitting in quiet. So Christina, my invitation is to use different words, try a few different things out. One thing I want to mention is, you know, we've been teaching self-awareness and mindfulness and presence for a long time. And I just wanted to say, you know, what a definition of presence is, and this is just kind of a throw-in, but for me, what presence is to be aware of what's going around you without judgment. And that has nothing to do with Christina's question.
Be aware what's going on around you without judgment.
Which is kind of an impossible thing because our brains judge.
And being aware of your judgment.
Right, yeah.
Because sometimes it's impossible to not judge, but can you be aware when you're judging? Like, in meditation, for those of you guys who meditate or sit in quiet, again, doesn't matter what word you use, it's just stillness. One of the greatest things that Jon Kabat-Zinn taught me, not personally, I wish, but through his books, is that when I am thinking in meditation, which you just do because the brain keeps going, you actually, the observer self in you says to it, thinking, thinking. Or if I start to plan the day or set goals in the meditation, you say, planning. Planning. So you're pointing out what you're doing. You don't say it out loud. I mean, you could, but you know, you just, you're, the observing mind is observing what the brain is doing. And then you separate. So to Todd's point, if presence is not being judgmental, then notice the judgment.
Yeah. Say, okay, I'm judging that guy because he should not be wearing those pants with those shoes.
And I'm judging your hat.
Why?
Because are you going to leave it on the whole time?
Yeah.
All right. So
so is there other questions? For those of you guys who are on live with us, we want to give you first dibs, but then we have some questions we can read too. So if anybody has something, type something in the chat
there. Well, why don't we start this one and then we'll look back and see if they have anything.
So this is from Rachel. My boyfriend and I argue very little, but one of our major sticking points is being ready on time. If we agree to leave at 6:30 to meet friends or something like that, he'll be all ready to go at 6:15. I love this guy. While I am rushing up until the last minute and I'm often not ready on time. Are you and Todd able to speak about self-awareness as it relates to being on time and how to break old patterns from our family or origin?
Of origin, probably.
Or.
So I don't think about either. Todd's definitely not late. I am sometimes, but I don't feel like I'm chronically late. I just feel like it's not that big of a deal. And this is something to Todd, it is. And this is something we talk about a lot. So in answer to your question, it's, there's no magic thing to do except to talk about it and to recognize in each situation, what is the driving force behind it? Meaning that sometimes we have gotten to the root of why Todd thinks we need to be on time somewhere. For example, something's going on with our own family, and really that's what's most important. But he's like, we got to get there. And he's disconnected to what's happening at home. And some of the reason, I don't know how much here you want me to share. So
share it all.
Okay. So some of the reason he wants to get there on time is because Todd, through his own birth family, identified himself as the responsible one. And the one who does show up on time, even if everybody else doesn't. And so it's become part of his identity. And so if he's late, who is he? And
not that, enough.
Yeah. Or he can't drop the ball, because if you drop the ball,
I hold everything up.
He holds the ball.
I'm like, who's that Greek god that holds up the world?
I know what you're talking about.
Atlas?
Atlas. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Todd's Atlas. But he's not. Like, he thinks he is, but the part about, you know, again, recognizing your mind is like, that's not true. You know, we're not even going in a situation with your family. People won't even recognize it. And again, there are times, school starts at a certain time, blah, blah. I get that there are some things we do have to be on time for to the best of our ability, but there's some things that just don't matter. And a lot of times we have to at least investigate why.
Can I make the counterpoint?
Please, please.
So I don't think Rachel's on, okay. But hopefully she'll hear
this.
No,
she's not. She's going to listen to the recording.
First of all, Rachel, thanks so much for asking the question. And we love the fact that you love the podcast. But why don't you just start getting ready earlier? Boom. Drop the mic.
Maybe she's doing...
If it's a pattern, then it's something to look at. If it happens once in a blue moon, no sweat. But if it's a pattern... then you're, you know, what are one of the four agreements? Be impeccable with your work.
Yes, this is true.
Okay. Don Miguel Ruiz. It's one of the best books ever written.
Yeah.
And what, I don't remember
it's
what
called else. The four agreements.
Four agreements. And one of the four agreements is be impeccable with your word. So if you say you're going to be ready at 6:30, then be ready at 6:30.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes life happens and you can't, but if it's a pattern, you just need to kind of shift what you are able to do and what you're not able to do.
And so,
oh, Allison says something here.
And I'm always on time, being late. So she says that you guys might be able to see this, but she said, I used to be chronically late to everything. And then my always on time husband framed it as being late makes it seem like you think your time is more important than others. Yes. And that is such a great way to think
Allison.
About it.
That's good.
Because I think what Todd just said is 100% true. And I have had to take responsibility for when I'm just lagging behind because I'm playing on my phone or something. That's completely unfair. I do need to take responsibility for showing up. And like you said, Allison, what makes me think that I can, that somehow my time is more important than the person I'm showing up for? That's huge. Simultaneously, remember we did the show on paradox, you know, there's always two sides, is if there is not an understanding of both sides, you know, of why someone feels like they have to be on time all the time to a point where you're having an argument. And then also the person who recognizes that to this person being on time is important. Both things have to be happening.
So can I, hey, Anna, if you're okay, I'd love to, Anna Rains, I don't know about that.
Yeah, Anna.
Can I unmute you? Because I think you have a few good points and I think it'd be good dialogue. Are you okay with that? I'm going to go ahead and unmute
you. Yeah, she's unmuted.
Unmute audio. There we go. Anna, are you there?
I am.
Okay, you just said two important things, and I would love to have a debate with you about it.
Okay.
So what did you say?
I love what you just said. Say that again.
What, did I set myself up here?
No, well, you know what? That's the thing, is we don't want to put her on
the spot. It's more fun.
No. I'm okay. I can debate. No, okay. So what I was saying was that, you know, it all depends, right? Because so although chronically I am, you know, have a fashion background, so I always would say I'm fashionably late. And I do tend to understand as I grow older, okay, there has to be some accountability for that. And I try to be more on time. But sometimes I'm literally like, you know, first of all, to get ready as a woman, like you got to do your hair, your makeup, this, that. A guy gets ready much faster. And then I'm like, getting my daughter ready, getting the house ready. Is this done? Is that done? And then my husband's like 10 minutes and he's just waiting. And it's so annoying. Or he'll be like on the computer or like looking at his phone and he's like, I'm waiting for you. And I'm like, yeah, but you could be helping and then I would be ready faster. Right. It's like, so, or he'll be like, okay, let me dress my daughter, but what should she wear? And what, and like so the questions. So it's so annoying. It's like, well, forget it. I'll just do it.
That and again, it does. There is a gender thing here, or a parenting thing here, or we'll just call it a responsibility thing here if it may not be gender specific. And that is that sometimes the person who is late is the one doing everything in preparation to get out the door. And it's sometimes it's not even the person who is always on time isn't even aware of all the things that happen that need to happen before we get out the door because they just take for granted that these things get done. And so, and a lot of times things will be said like, well, why did you do this in the last 15 minutes? Why didn't you take care of these things before? And life doesn't always work that way. Sometimes there's things that have to be done.
So Anna, do you have the ability to communicate to your husband, you know, the reason it's harder for me to get out the door is because I have five other things to do. Do you have the ability to communicate directly saying, listen, I need your help and this is what I need you to do? Have you asked that and has he said no, or does he sometimes do it, or what's the deal?
No, he's very good at helping. And I do say to him, and it's just, you know, I think, well, for my situation, you know, I think we both work from home and, you know, upstairs, downstairs. And I think that what happens sometimes is like, because we're both entrepreneurs, like we let our work, you know, we don't want to like miss that last call. And it's usually like date night or whatever. And then we got to get our daughter to her grandparents' house. So I don't know. I guess he's gotten to the point where we both kind of meet halfway. So I'm only a little bit late and he's only a little bit like expecting me to, I don't know, but I have communicated it with him and he has, you know, communicated with me how he feels. Like, you know, he wants to be on time. And so we are working around it, but I think, you know, I think it's all give and take. And also with the age of your kid, right? My daughter's going to be 4. So sometimes I could just lay out the clothes and be like, here, dress yourself. And she does. But before it was like, you know, diaper change and all this other stuff that she couldn't do. So I think that really helps a lot too.
Well, and I think that, you know, Todd makes a good point, which is obviously we have to have the conversation and we have to relay, you know, can you either help or do you at least, this is my thing, do you at least recognize what I'm doing?
And because the answer is usually we don't, because we're busy watching TV or reading a book or doing, like, so much goes without my awareness.
Correct. Like, something happened the other night where I can't even remember, but we were finishing things up. And basically at night, you guys, it's like that thing where, you know, a man, or at least in my house, you know, Todd can just be like, I'm going to bed upstairs, right? And if I'm going to go to bed, there's all these things that need to happen first. You know, I need to make sure the rabbit is in its cage. I need to make sure the doors are locked. I need to make sure the smoothies are made for the next morning. I need to make sure everything's put away. That, you know, there's this whole thing that Todd goes to bed. He sleeps in his clothes. Mm-hmm. He literally sleeps in his clothes.
If I have jeans on, I'll take my jeans off. But if I...
He'll, like, in the winter, he'll wake up and he'll have a sweater on. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So it just tells you there's no preparation.
I love being a guy. That's all I have to say.
Well, and I love being a woman. It's great.
But being a guy is awesome.
Right. So, but the point is it's kind of like going out for a date. You know, there's different things that have to get done. And if sometimes it's not about, even though I agree with you about making sure you have the conversation, you may be fine with doing those things because your children may prefer, they may be, because at their age, they want you to help them with that, as long as the other person recognizes what you're doing and why. So sometimes it's not like you got to share and we got to do this 50-50. I think sometimes that's good, but it's also, do you at least see that I'm not being late because I don't care, or that it doesn't mean anything to me, but there are things that have to be taken care of right now. So there's another question.
You want me to read it?
Yes, but I'm going to just kind of, because it's private. So I'm going to, you can read the next question if you want to.
Okay, well, we're 12:37. We said 40 minutes, okay. Just so you know. So do you want me to read this one, or are you going to read that one?
About listening to theirs. Oh, it's about listening to your gut. The question is about listening to your gut.
This will be the last question.
Okay. Well, this is really vital. You know, how do we teach our children to listen to themselves? Okay. We all know as adults what a gut instinct is. We know that we have gut instincts, and that's a real thing that we're born with. But over time, you know, when we're kids and in the education system and in our teenage years, people tell us to stop listening to ourselves, and we just look to the outside world to tell us what to do. So how do we help our kids hold on to that? We demonstrate that in our home. How? One simple way is choices. And not just in what they're wearing, but questions like, what do you think? You know, something will happen on TV, and it could even be something on Sesame Street. This doesn't have to wait till, you know, they're watching Friends and Seinfeld. It's like, what do you think just happened there? How do you think they're feeling? Trusting them to answer that question and ask it without needing them to respond in a certain way, that's super important, because there may be a character that is sad and they may say, well, I think they feel happy. And you don't, and that you're like, no, they feel this way. Then again, you're not teaching them to trust what they're feeling. You keep asking the question, what makes you think that they're happy? Or what do you see on their face? Or what are they doing that makes you think they're happy? And what you're doing is you're helping them tap into the way they feel, rather than having them recite an answer to you that makes you feel good. Okay, there's a difference. And things like, you know, our girls, the age they're at now, they come home and they say they have certain work to do or homework to do, or I have this event that I want to go to, or I don't know if I want to do this or do this. And I don't have much comment except, what do you think you should do? Mm-hmm. What do you want to do? And if they ask for our advice, we'll give our 2 cents. And sometimes we give our 2 cents without them asking. But the big but is, most of the time, the language we use is, what do you think? And we can do that with really young kids. Like, I'm a really big believer in, when they're really small, what do they want to wear? If they want to wear something crazy and their tights don't match their shirt, who cares? Why do they feel good in that outfit? There's usually a reason. And right, my Aunt Peg is on this call. And Peg, I always wear the same outfit all the time, right?
And the Dorothy Hamill costume. Or the cap, whatever. Dorothy Hamill haircut? Or?
Well, that was just a haircut. You can't change your haircut.
Peggy Fleming costume.
No, I didn't have a Peggy Fleming
Dorothy costume.
Dorothy costume. I had a pink skirt outfit that I really liked, and I wanted to wear it every day. And from an adult perspective, it's like, ooh, that's gross. And, you know, isn't there something else? But there's a reason why children choose.
Skylar used to wear her jacket backwards for the first few years of her life. So she'd go to preschool
with her arms in her coat and her hood here.
And I'd have to zip it up the other way.
And you know, there's a great commercial on right now with Charles Barkley where he wears his coat that way and puts chips in the hood.
It's just a good idea.
Them. Yeah, we should have told Skylar to do that.
One less step.
Yeah, just, you know, that would be her lunch. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I guess my point is that it's a practice for us as parents, rather than say, how do I get them to do it? It's a home practice. It's a family practice. Are you asking yourself those questions? Are you honoring your child's opinion in something? And sometimes honoring their opinion doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen. Like, you may say, where should we go on vacation? And I may be thinking that we're going to drive an hour away. And they may say,
Paris.
Well, that's great. Why do you think we should go to Paris? And, you know, getting their response on that, but we're not going to Paris.
No.
We're not going.
No time soon.
But I'm still interested in why they think that. Like, they think we should have been to Hawaii like 10 times by now.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? What makes you think we should have gone to Hawaii by now? That conversation is fun in itself, but we're not going.
The only other thing I'll say to Dawn as we close up is that just make sure you're role modeling that too, because the kids will kind of feel whether or not you are trusting your gut. And you may be doing that, but if you're not, it's always easier to put our attention on our kids not following their gut and avoiding our own, and just work on yourself. That's all we ever talk about in the podcast anyways.
Because that's the thing. You know, our kids are energy. And when they're young, they're just like energy and they feel everything. And so our words are less important than what we're actually doing.
Yeah.
And that's why this whole Zen parenting thing is not about how to get your kid to do something. It's just you.
Yeah.
And if you, and when you, it's not if you do everything right or you're completely self-aware all the time and your kids won't have any issues. That's not it either. It's that if you are in that place of, you are grounded, you understand why you do what you do, and you have self-awareness about your actions, your judgments, your thoughts, then you're going to respond better to their challenges. Mm-hmm. And because they're still going to have them, and you're still going to have them, and you're going to still leave the car running, and you're going to, I'm not over it yet, can you tell?
No,
I keep bringing it up.
I'm
processing it through you guys. But, you know, there's things that are still going to happen, but you respond to it better. If you have that sense of...
So, in closing, we have another Zen Talk on Monday.
Yes.
May 15th, 12 o'clock. But what Kathy and I are totally, like, just rolling with this. We don't have any idea what we're doing. And...
We kind of know what we're doing. Yeah. This works.
No, we have no idea.
Yes, we do.
We got zero idea.
That's not...
Nothing.
Todd doesn't have
the show is about nothing.
I set this up. Validate. The show is about nothing.
The show is about nothing.
This whole, like, thing... is great because this actually works. I hope
you created this, but what we want is for if you guys have feedback, you know, what worked, what didn't, what would you like to see, what blah 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 blah. And you can either email us or just communicate with us in one way, shape, or form.
So Todd's point is, let's create this as we go.
Yes.
Like, instead of you guys saying, oh, that's all it is,
right?
What else
do you want?
Yeah,
because we just wanted to make sure that you guys feel like this is valuable. So
they probably want to see our rabbit.
Next time, Monday, May 15th, we'll show you Smoke Monster and her three legs. She's only got three legs.
Yeah. She's right now sprawled out, and there's only one leg behind. Yeah. It's always... Alexa thinks we're talking to her.
Alexa just talked to us.
Okay, so anyway...
We're 3 minutes late,
okay,
and I don't like being late.
We're going to end. If there was something you missed or you came on late or you had to jump off, whatever, we're sending this recording to you so you'll get it. Like Todd said, email us, Kathy at ZenParentingRadio.com, Todd at ZenParentingRadio.com, either of us. And let us know what you would like, or if you're like, this is fine, let us know that, because positive feedback is, you know, or positive feedback that things are good are fine too.
Right. And I feel like I should hit the Zen parenting music, but I don't have it.
Do you want to sing it?
Do, 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 do.
Doesn't sound
That's
like
not
it.
How it goes.
No. Okay.
All right. See you guys. Adios.
Thanks for joining us.
Keep trucking. Bye-bye. Meeting is ended.
All right.
And meeting for all.
Okay.